You're listening to Mommy's Playroom Podcast with your host, Christy Fetterly. I'm a mom, former educator, and author who loves to delve into the world of sexual discovery and health. Most days, you can find me typing vigorously at my computer on my farm and usually baking goodies for the kids. However, each week, I'll be popping into your ears to explore different aspects of sexuality and relationships, inviting guest experts to share what they have to say, and inviting you to join in on your own sexual revolution.
All right, welcome to episode 6 of the Mommy's Playroom podcast. So this week, we are going to explore some of my past dirt, and many of you may have some of the similar dirt, but it's some of that dirt that makes us struggle with how we are sexually, our body confidence, and I want to talk a little bit about how we can get out of the funk of that dirt and move into a more confident sexual experience. So originally, I was going to talk about how, in this episode, how there's books and all this stuff that we can use. I'd asked in a few groups for other women to kind of share their stories and perspectives on the topic and got some awesome responses. And it's really interesting, right, that like reading a book or watching a movie or both can help boost your own confidence. And it took me years, like until my 30s, to start to feel confident in my own skin, especially with my own sexuality. And a lot of that kind of boils down to the fact that I have some interesting traumatic childhood experiences that kind of made that transition into feeling like a sexual person and confident in my skin just that much harder. So for this episode, like I said, I was going to focus and chat on some of the books, the shows, etc., that helped kind of boost my confidence. And after talking with my husband a little bit and after reflecting on the last episode, that was very much like a history lesson, which is so hard to get out of that mode, having been a history teacher for so long. But I really figured it's time to come out of the closet. Well, the sexual abuse closet, that is, and kind of share my story with you all so that you have a greater understanding as to why this community and building this community is so important to me and why I want to be an advocate and voice for sexual empowerment and confidence and just sexual freedom. So it was honestly pretty interesting how all of that came to surface for me. And so I do want to share a trigger warning. I am going to talk a little bit about my own sexual abuse history and how that impacted me throughout my life without me even knowing it. And I'm going to go to the way back and share my experience in this episode. So if you have your own past experiences or you have loved ones who have similar experiences, this may bring up some of that dirt. And first, I want to say I am not a therapist. I do not claim to be, right? And if you are struggling with past abuse, assault, current abuse, any of those things, I highly encourage you to seek out a therapist or a counselor who you feel safe with and dig into this crap. Because as I will share with you, I didn't even realize how much of the shit from my childhood impacted me until my early 30s, which sucks because I honestly feel like I wasted so much time in this weird, funky headspace, and I could have been enjoying my own body, my own confidence, my own sexuality. And so I do also want to share with you this, just talking about this makes me a little bit nervous, makes me a little bit vulnerable. But at the same time, I am really authentically hoping to grow this community, to support others, to be an advocate. So I feel that sharing my truth will not only be a little therapeutic for me, but it may also help someone else know that they're not alone, that they have support, and that we can overcome this crap. So I have my sweet tea. I might need to take a few sips, and we're going to dive in. So again, trigger warning, I'm gonna dive in. So when I was a kid, I was in preschool or kindergarten. I'm not exactly sure, but for sure kindergarten, when I can really remember the abuse starting. I was in some sort of foster care situation. Honestly, I'm not entirely sure. I was told, you know, my mom had cancer at the time. My dad was in and out of prison. So I'm not exactly sure what was going on with that. I've tried to look up records. I can't find anything. However, whatever that situation was, I was living with an older gentleman and his wife. There were other girls around sometimes that were a little bit older than me, and sometimes my mom was around and would stay, but I can't honestly, like, I don't know or understand, like, the entirety of the situation. But what I do remember is things were a little off. So when his wife was alive, which I'll get into that too, it wasn't as frequent. However, my foster dad at the time, foster father, whatever, the man of the house, there were times where he would instruct me to hold his penis while he used the restroom and told me that these are things that I would need to know as a wife. Other weird things, you know, he would perform checkups on me to make sure my parts were okay, which seemed super weird, but at the time I didn't know any better. We also went to nudist camps and weird events like that, but that was totally normal for him. His wife unfortunately did pass away from cancer or something, and then things got even more weird after that. Lots of grooming, lots of weird cuddling, more trips to the nudist events. I was thinking about this the other day. I was actually up a lot the other night thinking about what I was going to disclose and share and how I was going to talk about it. And there was even this public pool place that all of the nudists would go to, and everyone was nude swimming around. And I vividly remember, like, there was a hot tub because there were other girls in the hot tub and we would play in the hot tub, but then we would also end up sitting on naked men's laps, and these naked men were excited for us to be on their laps. But even as I'm saying all this, like, I'm still filled with, like, the what the kind of thoughts, right? Like, how is this even considered normal? Where did all these grown-ass men come from? You know, I remember starting first grade, the craziness continued. You know, again, my mom was around sometimes, and this man even, like, apparently adopted my mom, or at some point she changed her middle name to his last name, and I honestly don't even know. But at some point my mom remarried and my stepdad came around, and I honestly credit him for saving me from that place, because after the first couple of visits, he told my mom that, like, something was really weird and he felt super uncomfortable that I was there. And so, you know, again, I was told it was a foster care situation, so we'll go with that. So I credit my stepdad to saving me from foster care, right? So eventually, I moved in with my mom and my stepdad. We moved away to be closer to his family, and then moving across the country, I was able to not be around the abuse anymore, but I also knew that I couldn't talk about it because my foster dad told me that if I told anyone, I would be in trouble. So I remember, you know, during the times of abuse, he would bribe me with treats and sweets, and it was just this typical narcissistic abusive bribery, and I fell into it hard. I was a kid, right? And then interestingly enough, like, after we moved across the country, this is where things got really weird. And I've been told so many times before that, like, this seems too crazy to be true, but I swear this is the honest truth. So while we lived across the country, my mom, my stepdad, and I, my foster dad married my maternal grandmother and became my grandfather. So we're going to now refer to him as good old Grandpa Jack. So unfortunately, right, the man who saved me from foster care, who moved us across the country, and was honestly a saint in many other ways. Like, I feel like he came into our lives for a very specific reason, and saving me was one of them, but he was killed in Desert Storm. So after he passed away, this prompted our move back to live closer to my mom's family, back to good old Grandpa Jack. I was a little bit older, right? I think I was in third grade now. And I apologize, like, as an educator, I only know how to speak in grade levels. So whatever age you are in third grade, my mom at that point thought it would be a great idea for me to stay with Jack and my grandmother while she took my very young baby brother back to move our things from across the country. So here I was in the back of the back in the home of my abuser, the same exact home where the abuse originally took place. And even though my grandmother was now there, things just kind of picked right back up where they were before, right? The medical exams, holding his junk to help him piss, like all of that stuff just started right back up again. The bribery with food and treats continued, and I honestly have no idea how my grandmother didn't know weird shit was going on, because she was right there, right? But sometimes it's easier to not pay attention. So luckily, my mom came back after a month or so. I don't remember how long she was gone moving our stuff, and we moved into our own place. But, you know, good old Jack married my grandmother, so he wasn't totally out of the picture. They stayed married for the duration of their lives, and it took me until I was about 16 or 17, I can't remember, roughly that age, to disclose about the abuse to my mom. I remember we were in a drive-through ATM, headed to my grandma's house for something. We were often over there for family events. My mom and my grandma were pretty close. We were like the closest relatives, so we were around often. But when I told her, I remember we were in the drive-through, and I was like, "Hey, I have something to tell you, and it's really weird, and I just need to tell you, you know." And I told her, and she didn't seem shocked. She said that she thought something had been happening, but wasn't really sure, and just hoped it wasn't. But you know, after years of pretending to be like the good granddaughter and spending time with my grandmother, Jack was always around, right? And at that point, I was like, I can't do this anymore. He would often make comments. He would attempt to touch me, right? As I got older, I was like, stop, like, leave me alone. You're a pervert. But I never really called him out on his bullshit. And I remember that moment when I told my mom, like, I wanted her to retaliate. Like, I wanted for something to happen. Instead, like, I kind of felt I had to hide. My mom told me that I never had to see him again. In reality, what that meant is that I stopped going to my grandma's house or any family functions if he was going to be there, which meant I basically, like, outcasted myself from a pretty dysfunctional family to begin with. But still, instead of standing up to him and making him hide, I ended up hiding. And that continued for years. I remember even on my wedding day, right? Like, on my wedding day, we drove from my mom's house to my grandma's house. I sat in the driveway in my wedding dress in a rented minivan while my mom had to kind of sneak my grandmother out of the house so he didn't try to attend or know where we were going, right? So that could have happened 400,000 different ways. There is a number of family that could have gone and picked up my grandma, but here I was in my wedding dress, sitting in the driveway of my childhood abuser so that my grandma could come. Like, to this day, we were just recently, like, at that part of the country. I live on the other side of the country now, but, and driving past his house, it still, like, gives me the heebie-jeebies. Like, I just, you know, it is what it is, but it's just interesting, right? But I think part of what I constantly told myself is that you have two choices. The first is that you can be a victim of your experiences, or you can use it as a part of your story. And the second choice is what I decided, and decided proved that I was strong, right? I didn't do drugs, or a lot of them, as a way to escape. I didn't end up in juvie. I didn't get into other crazy situations. I got good grades. I graduated from all of the colleges, and even told students when I became a teacher that were struggling with similar kinds of things that they had these choices to either be a victim of their circumstances or use it as part of their story. The other night when I was like ruminating over this episode and really thinking about that choice, right? I feel bad that I gave that as advice, because as I think about it now, again, after counseling, after therapy, I kind of hid behind that statement, using it to prove that I was stronger than my past and that I was not a victim. But in all honesty, I am a victim. I am a victim of childhood sexual abuse, and that does impact me, and that did impact me growing up a lot more than I had realized in the moments. You know, it honestly took getting panic attacks in a Target and not knowing what was going on for me to start to see a therapist. And again, this was in my 30s. I'm now in my 40s, but it was in my 30s. And I thought it was work pressure. I thought it was like, oh my gosh, like I had a stressful job. I was a director of a school. I was, you know, doing all kinds of hard emotional work, but you know, sitting in my car, like ripping my bra off because I couldn't breathe after walking out of Target. I was like, something is going on. But as I started to unpack all of this crap that I just kept pushing down, that I was hiding from because that's what I was taught to do, nobody needed to know what happened, just that I didn't want to communicate with good old Jack anymore, right? So once I realized that it wasn't work stress that was getting to me, I had some work to do with my therapist, it honestly felt like a weight was lifted off my shoulders. I was in control. Ironically, my husband also reminded me prior to starting recording this episode that I am in control now, which I really needed to hear because, like I said, like this is super vulnerable, emotional junk, right? And it made me so nervous to disclose this to the world when I was definitely, this was not something that I shared openly, right? It takes work and more work. And then when you think the work is done, even more work, right? I did hypnosis therapy with my counselor to pull out like regressed traumatic childhood memories. And there's all kinds of other junk going on in there. But I can really see now how the experiences I had as a child impacted my first relationships, my first sexual experiences, how I thought about myself, my body, etc. I can see how hiding it and feeling like I was supposed to hide it made me feel ashamed and like I did something wrong. Even when I spoke up about it and then was pushed into even more hiding, I can see how expressing my own sexual wants and desires felt so uncomfortable because of the experiences. But I did take that control back. And like I said, again, I felt like I wasted so many years of my life lacking the confidence, the voice, etc., when I could have taken control back a long time ago. So what does this mean? Like, this means that I'm using my voice to be an advocate, right? There are so many people who are victims of abuse that haven't found their voice yet. So I am being vulnerable and sharing my story in the hopes that it will resonate with someone, anyone, right? That someone else will connect and not feel alone or feel that they should hide. That the confidence that I've gained just within the last few years after seeking therapy for what I thought was panic attacks, then being diagnosed with PTSD from childhood trauma, which actually was very hard to read on a piece of paper from my therapist, but all of the steps I went through helped me realize that this is baggage and this baggage that we carry around is totally real. That I don't have to be strong and say that this is just part of my story, which it is part of my story, but I am also a victim. I was a child, right, placed in the wrong hands by the people that were supposed to protect me, but I also have a voice. And I want to use my voice to inspire others to build their own confidence, to take control of their sexuality, their wants, their desires, etc. So I hope that by disclosing and sharing and being vulnerable and open with you all, this is definitely a different episode from the last episode. But I hope that we can start to build this community. And I do want to thank you all. Thank you for those of you that have started following and listening and sharing the podcast. Thank you for those of you that have reached out on Messenger, Instagram, email to share your thoughts on past episodes. I am grateful to have the opportunity to build this community with you. And if you would like to be part of this community, please follow me on Facebook, Instagram, etc. I am working on getting my website set up. I have the domain, mommiesplayroom.com. It should be rolling in the next week or so. I just have to devote some time to that. If you want to be a guest and chat about things on the show, let me know. If you think it would be awesome to hear from someone specific that should be a guest, let me know and I will reach out to them. If you just want to share something that stood out to you or resonated with you from this episode, feel free to send me a comment. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for being a safe space for me to disclose and be vulnerable and open and share. And I really am looking forward to building this community. Have an amazing rest of your day.